Okay, so we're in the book of Ecclesiastes. We've covered the first mostly three chapters. We're going to look at some portions at the end of chapter three today, and we're going to look at some other verses in Ecclesiastes as well. We're going to be looking kind of thematically today, because Ecclesiastes, the topic we're going to be looking at has to do with death. And Ecclesiastes actually says a lot about it in different parts. And so we're just going to kind of look at those different parts and put them together and see what this book is saying. Before we get into that, let's review. And so tell me, what has this book been saying about life? Because it's really a book about life. We're going to talk about death today, but Ecclesiastes is really mostly about life, not death, except that death is part of life. It's just a reality of life. And so we think of life and death as opposites. And you could think that way, they are. And yet they go together. And so, what has Solomon been saying about life in this book?
At first, like the chapter one and chapter two, the life is nothing at first.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then in chapter three, he said, for everything, has a special time.
Yes, mm-hmm. He does.
It's ordered.
Yeah.
Yes.
But what we do is fairly meaningless.
Okay. There's a time for everything under the sun. Mm-hmm. And it's vanity. It's meaningless. It's a breath. Mm-hmm. A vapor.
It's gone.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's here and it's gone.
As we are older, we see that.
That's true.
They may not get that as well as we do.
Yeah. Okay. So there's that piece that he's been saying. There's another piece that he's been saying about life, which is strange if you put them together, the two pieces together. Do you remember what the other piece was?
It is a gift from God if we enjoy it.
Yes.
If we enjoy our work and just go through life.
That's right. So life is vanity. Life is meaningless. It has no point to it under the sun. And remember, under the sun is a real important phrase in this book. He's talking about life apart from God. It's just life on its own terms, under the sun. And so it's a breath, and it's gone. But enjoy it. It's a gift from God. And so both of those pieces are pieces he's been saying about life throughout the book. Okay, now we're going to talk about death, because Ecclesiastes actually has a lot to say about death.
He already was talking about death.
What's that?
If it's only for a breath, then
you're right. That's correct. That's sort of implied, isn't it?
Right. I mean,
death is the reason, or a reason, why it's a breath. Yeah. Okay. We're going to start death on your handout. You've got a handout, and we're just going to go down through that handout. So it says who? So go to chapter 9 in Ecclesiastes, and we're going to read verses 2 through 6. And here's what Solomon says. He says, it is the same for all, since the same event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As the good one is, so is the sinner, and he who swears is as he who shuns an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Also, the hearts of the children of man are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. But he who is joined with all the living has hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Their love and their hate and their envy have already perished, and forever they have no more share in all that is done under the sun. Okay, who does this happen to, that he says?
Everybody.
Everybody.
And that's why it seems evil, because it's the good and the bad. Mm-hmm.
That's right. The righteous and the unrighteous. Does that seem just?
No.
Why not?
Because we feel like we are righteous and somebody else isn't, so they should get more.
Okay.
Although we are sinners and we don't see it.
Okay. So, yeah, why do all die?
Because of their sin.
Because of sin, that's right.
Because.
All.
Just remember, she's a joy to have here.
That's right. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is?
Death.
Okay, if you sin, you die.
Yep.
Death. In many ways, death is proof of sin. And the universality of death is proof of the universality of sin. And so the righteous die because they sinned. Because there is no one who does right. No, not even one. And the wicked die because they sinned. And we look at them from a human perspective, and we see, you know, well, one's better than the other, and so it's not right that they all get the same thing in the end. But from God's perspective, looking down on them, there isn't much difference. And they all die because they all sinned. Okay. B, on your handout, what happens when you die? So let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So it happens to everyone because everyone sins. And we're going to read verses 18 through 20. He says, I said in my heart with regard to the children of man that God is testing them, that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beasts is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beasts, for all is vanity. All go to one place. All are from the dust, and to dust all return. Okay, so all go to the
dust.
You go to the dust. That's what happens when you die. He says you go to the dust. He's talking here about your physical life. Dust is a physical thing. And Scripture agrees that humans have a physical element to them. We, you know, some people sort of over-spiritualize the Bible and make everything spiritual, and you know, there's obviously spiritual element to the Bible and to human beings, but there's also a physical element to us. And in that sense, we are like the animals. You know how science talks about humans and animals kind of similarly? Well, the Bible, there's a sense in which the Bible can agree with that. It's we are physical, just as the animals are physical. Now, we have a spiritual element that the animals do not have, but we are physical. And when we die, we go to the dust, just like the animals. That's what he's saying here. The beasts, we're no different from the beasts in that respect, is what he's saying. And you look at the beasts, And you say, what do the beasts, what do they do with their life? You know, the cow, he eats grass. You know, maybe the cow has a calf and feeds the calf and eats more grass, feeds the calf and dies. And what was the purpose of his life?
No.
I guess that would be her life in that case that I gave. Yeah. You know, what was the purpose of her? It's vanity. If you get right down to it, and we're kind of like them.
Yeah.
Okay, what happens when you die? Let's go to chapter 5.
Except the purpose of the cow, like the purpose of us, is to raise godly offspring, to continue.
That's our purpose.
Is it?
Well.
A purpose.
I don't know. I mean, animals become extinct, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that their purpose? I don't know.
Yeah.
Our purpose is to bring glory to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we haven't been told what the animal's purpose is
to do. You're right. All creation is to do that. We're to do it in a different sense because we're in the image of God.
Right.
That's right. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 15 and 16. Here's what he's got to say about death. As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind? Okay. Mm-hmm. So I've got on your sheet, everything is
vanity.
Everything's gone. You know all the stuff you worked for in this life, mm-hmm. when you die?
Oh yeah, you leave the stuff in this life, although Jesus says you can store treasure in heaven.
That's correct.
Which is kind of cool.
But this is under the sun. Solomon's talking about under the sun.
I know.
That's cool. So Rockefeller, famous, you may not know who he is, famous rich guy. From, you do know who Rockefeller is. Okay, good.
Five brothers.
I don't know how many brothers. Oh, you know him better than I do. This is great. I did not know how many brothers he had.
One of them went to Arkansas.
Oh, man. So, anyway, he died. After he died, whoever was handling his estate, someone was talking to the guy handling Rockefeller's estate, and he asked the guy, how much did he leave behind? And the guy said, everything.
Yeah.
that was his answer.
That's a good answer.
That's what Ecclesiastes is saying right here. That's right. You came naked, and you go naked. And whatever it is you got here, you don't take it with you. It stays here. You can be Rockefeller. And when you die, what you leave behind is everything. That's what you leave behind. That's the idea here. Okay, let's go to chapter 9. I'm going to read verse 5. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. When you die, what happens? We are forgotten. He says you will be forgotten.
Maybe he's wrong.
There are very few people who are remembered.
Do you know anything about your great-grandparents?
Long period. So very few people are remembered for a long time. Mm-hmm. And of the people who are remembered for a long time, the majority of those are remembered for bad reasons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so there are very even fewer people who are remembered for a long time for good reasons.
Right.
And so if you were to just do percentages, the percentage of you know, all the people who have lived in the past and the number of people that you actually can remember from the past, and you round it off, it's going to round down to zero.
Pretty close, yeah.
Yeah. You're going to be forgotten. Okay, let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 21. Who knows whether the spirit of man goes up and the spirit of the beast goes down into the earth? And I say there's a translation issue on this verse, and it's actually a pretty significant translation issue that affects how you read this verse. The Hebrew reads, that word weather's not in there that it's got. It reads, who knows? The spirit of man goes upward and the spirit of the beast goes down into the earth. That's how it reads.
So there is a spirit to the beast.
There's something
there. There's something. We just don't know what it is. It's not like us. Again, we don't need to know.
So then, scholars debate how to translate this. Is it something like if? Who knows if the spirit of man goes up and the spirit of the beast goes down? Or is it something like that? Who knows that the spirit of man goes up? And that totally changes the meaning of the verse.
Why can't it just be who knows the spirit goes up and down? Isn't that equally as nebulous if we don't know?
Well, then it's ambiguous.
Well, it is ambiguous. We don't know.
Well, it depends on understanding, not because of the word.
The translation is ambiguous.
Well,
if you just translate it literally, just like that. And scholars will translate it, and both of them are legitimate translations. It's not like one's wrong and one's right. They actually are both legitimate translations. But because of the ambiguity, it's hard to know in English or other languages what he was saying there.
He could
say that if he said if. That would be the ambiguity. Who knows if the spirit of man goes up? And that's actually what, that would be clear ambiguity. It would be clear that he's trying to say we don't know. But it's not clear that he's trying to say we don't know. And so, biblically, so if you look at the Bible outside Ecclesiastes, it's pretty clear that the spirit lives on for the human being. There's something eternal in us. And it's why earth cannot fulfill you. It's why earth is vanity. You were made for something eternal, and earth, this earth under the sun, isn't eternal. And something that's not eternal cannot fulfill your eternal desires. And so you're made for something beyond earth. And so I believe, based on broader biblical context, I think Solomon's saying something more like that. The spirit of man goes up, the spirit of the beast goes down. If you read it the other way, I'm not going to arm wrestle you over it. You know, it's a legitimate translation. But just based on broader biblical context, I think that's what he's getting at. Is that while we are dust, that's number one under your handout, and while number two, everything is gone, and while you're forgotten, you're also eternal. That's part of what happens when you die. Okay, C. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 7, and he's going to say, as you live, consider death. So Ecclesiastes 7, verses 2 through 4. Let me read. He says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all mankind. And the living will lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by sadness of face, the heart is made glad. Catch that verse. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Okay. So as you live, consider death. He says better. Look at verses 2 and 3. And if you've got a Bible, you can circle the word better. Verse 2, it is better. Verse 3, sorrow is better. And so that he's making a contrast here. Something's better than something else. Why are mourning and sorrow better than feasting and laughter?
Are we talking about dealing with your sadness and your trauma rather than medicating it?
Perhaps. Mm-hmm. I think I don't know here that he's talking so much about dealing with things.
Well, I meant
dealing with sorrow.
It's better to mourn than to go get drunk and ignore it. Possibly.
Sometimes when we change a book, at the end of the paragraph said, when you think about go to the party and every time you enjoy the party,
uh-huh.
You can't think about the death.
Right.
And it is important you think about the death.
Mm-hmm. Why? That's my question. Why?
Why?
Because that's, you're right. He is saying that.
Yes.
Why?
Why? When we think about the death, we look at ourselves.
Yeah.
What to do in the earth. Uh-huh. And maybe not on this world is not only not rejoice and happy not the things of the go to the party and enjoy the party,
right?
Like the foolish person,
right?
You think about that. If
yes.
You go to the party, do you enjoy the better things?
Yeah.
Not only like drunk, like the gambling or like something.
Yep.
Think about the life.
Okay.
It is important.
Okay.
And this is a part of the life.
Okay.
Yes, like the scriptures.
Mehran is going to say something.
I think thinking about death uh-huh. helps you better live.
Why? Mm. Why does it? I think you're right, and I think that's what Solomon's getting at. Mm-hmm. Why does it help you live a better life?
When think about death, you know the end of your life.
Okay.
Therefore, maybe it makes you live better.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that scripture says what? The order
of
your life.
The end of your life is death.
Yes.
Maybe its knowledge makes you live in the correct way. Better.
Okay. Right. Yes, Solomon is saying that very thing. Look at verse 2. He says it in verse 2. Because he says it's better to go to the house of mourning, right? And then he says, for, and he's going to give his reason. This is why. What's his reason? For what?
This is where we're going to be.
This is the end of man. He's just saying, be real. This is reality. If you're going to not ever think on death, you're not ever going to think on reality. What, you're Superman? You're going to live forever? And you're going to live your life as if that's true? You're a fool. That's the idea.
Doesn't it say, teach us to number our days so we can
yes.
give you a heart of wisdom or something like that? But I don't remember what the next part of it is, but yeah.
Yeah. So why do we avoid thinking about death? Because people avoid it all the time.
It hurts.
Because we want to live forever.
Okay, we want to live forever.
Because we don't, oftentimes we don't know what's coming. But
yes.
We know what's coming. I mean, right. As believers, but
because we
don't know what's coming.
Because we don't want to acknowledge our lack of relationship with God and that we are going to be held account.
Okay.
Everybody knows that. And
yeah.
We're going to be held account.
Okay, there's a judgment.
There's a
death and judgment do go together.
They do. And I don't care who I talk to. Even if they don't believe there's a God, somehow there's a belief, there's a reckoning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they should do
there's
right.
There's a time when they're going to have to justify what they did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thinking about this is scary.
It's yes. What?
It is very scary.
It's scary. You're right.
And all the time, people think death for the other, not for themselves.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
So that's, but Solomon's talking about yourself.
Right. Yeah. It is scary. It is frightening to fall into the hands of an angry God. What he says. But at the same time, one of my last conversations with one of my friends, we were talking about the character of God. And she and I were talking, and I said, you know, God was kind enough to tell us what's going to happen before the world ends and just how horrible it is, right? Mm-hmm. Nowhere in Scripture does Jesus say how horrible going through death is.
Yeah.
So he would have warned us if it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. So that gives me hope that when I do transition to the other part of life, that it won't be so bad. It won't, I mean, yes, it will be frightening, and I have to trust it's all God, because I can't make it. My good versus bad is not gonna make it. You know, that's a done deal. But if Jesus saves me, then you know, but that feeling of that maybe it won't be so bad to take that step.
Okay. So, go ahead.
There's pain associated with it, potentially.
Okay, there is.
Physical pain.
Yeah.
Physical pain.
Yeah.
That's for me, I'm like, I'm not afraid of dying.
Right.
But the process, that part could be painful.
The part could be very painful.
It might not be. You just don't know.
You don't know. Okay. So then, let me ask this question. Solomon is telling us that we need to consider death in how we live. Okay, what about joy? I mean, isn't joy a Christian concept? And aren't we to rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice. Isn't that real? Okay, put those together. What do we go around all gloomy? Like Eeyore, woe is me, we're going to die. I mean, some people read Solomon this way. And I understand how they read him this way, but go ahead.
Well, part of it, like I was talking to my friend, is that joy to know that there's someone with us, that when it comes to reckoning time, there's going to be one going, hey, I paid that. That's an incredible life joy. That is just lightens, I mean... Honestly, yes, I've lost two friends in the last 3 weeks. Both of them were believers. So even though I'm sad because I will miss them, I'm not sad for them.
Yeah.
They're dancing. They're fine.
Right.
That is an incredible gift.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I'll deal with someone who hasn't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's a gift.
So in Christ, there's joy in the midst of death. You know, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. That's what Hebrews says.
Yep.
Jesus endured the cross. Why? For the joy that was set before him. Joy and cross together. That just doesn't translate for us sometimes. And yet it's real.
It's because he knew what would happen for all of us.
And yes, and so this is not, this talk about consider death is not saying go around and live your life all sad and mourning and so on. It's simply saying, listen, you need to consider the fact that you are going to die and that this life comes to an end. And when you consider that, it might change how you live this life. In fact, it should change how you live this life.
Isn't that what Jesus was saying about lay up treasures in heaven?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it is hard because the English translations, at least, I mean, in America, we think sometimes joy is happiness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Happy. But that's not real. That's not what it is, right? It's more being contented, having peace. You know, it is some happiness, a little bit. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Yeah.
We're saying we're wonderful that we're in the Lord. But it doesn't mean we have to walk around with a big smile on our face. Neither do we have to be sad all the time. You know what I mean? It's deeper than that. It's more important than that.
It's the hope.
Yeah, we have a hope in God.
Hope.
Mm-hmm. We know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like I said, if we looked at this world right now and said this is all there is,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, shoot me now. I mean, you know, there's a lovely book, Tuck Everlasting, that talks about somebody, you know, it's a pretend book, but that they are forever trapped on this earth, everlasting life here. Who would want that?
Mm-hmm.
Not me.
Suppose you had a bunch of money to invest in the stock market. And suppose you could look ahead into the future and you could see how this company, you're thinking of investing a lot of money in this company, and you could see how this company was going to perform. And you could see that this company was going bankrupt and it was going to crash. Would you invest your money in that company?
No.
You would not. Okay, Solomon is giving you a picture of the future of the market here. He is saying Earth is that corporation that's going to go bankrupt in the end. It's going to crash and it's going to burn. And okay, should you invest your life in that? You see what's going to happen in the end. He's telling you what's going to happen in the end. And so you would be a fool to really invest your life in Earth, so to speak. It's going to crash. And in the end, it's going to be gone and you aren't going to have any Earth. And everything you invested in is going to be a breath. And it's gone. That's Ecclesiastes. And death helps explain life. This life under the sun. See, death is a big reason why life under the sun is vanity. Because life under the sun comes to an end and you get to keep nothing. You lose all you gained under the sun. You're forgotten under the sun. You come to nothing under the sun. And so, long term, Earth is empty. It's bankrupt. It has nothing to give you long term. And so if you want to live right, consider death. Just as if you want to invest right, consider the future of that company before you invest. And that fact, death, just the fact of death, will help you invest in the right things here and now. Things that last. Because the things that are here on earth don't last. So what I'd like to do is this. You've got on your sheet, the very bottom there, it says response. I want you to take a minute and write down at least one aspect of earth that you are tempted to invest in. Everybody is tempted to invest in earth in probably more than one way. But what is one thing here on this earth that you're tempted to really invest your time, your resources, your life in? Just write that where it says response down there. And then we're going to just do something with that in just a second. Okay, so you've written something down. What I want to do is have a time of prayer. You can pray silently. I'm not asking you to confess this publicly to people. But I am going to ask you to confess that. And so confess that to God. And in your prayer, after you confess that to God, ask God for His strength to pursue Him first. And to see that whatever you wrote down, that aspect, as a good gift from God, perhaps to enjoy, as Ecclesiastes describes earth, instead of the main thing. And so confess it, ask for God's strength to make Him first, and to see that aspect as just a gift that you thank Him for. And then I'm going to ask just two or three to pray. Just pray as God puts on your heart on, you know, what we've been talking about in Ecclesiastes today, just to close us.